today. It's good to see each one of you. I want to welcome you, and especially wanted to welcome my sister, Tammy. She's sitting back there in the corner. That's my flesh and blood sister, and I forget.
Scott.
Okay. Y'all forgive me for not remembering your name. I'm just real terrible with names. But so Tammy and Scott, we welcome you with us today, and welcome Sister Brandy, and then the rest of you. So we'll just go ahead and let the musicians go to their seats and get into the service this morning. Just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. Tremendous times we live in, all right?
Amen.
But we knew it would be this way,
right?
Because the Word of God told us it would be this way. So we just want to get into the Scriptures this morning. And we'll go ahead and open up the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And a few weeks ago, I was Brother Daniel had ministered on leadership, and I was telling him that morning, that's exactly what I would have ministered on that morning, and he told me what he had on his heart. And I have given it a couple of weeks, and I haven't really been able to get away from it, so I know the Lord really wanted me to go in this direction. And so today's leadership part two, we started Wednesday night for part one. And so we're going to pick up and maybe just rehearse a little bit, and we're going to move on to leadership part two. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, you know what an heir is, someone who receives an inheritance from their father. The heir, as long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Let's just bow our hearts to Him and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. This great, grand opportunity that you've given us today, Lord, to stand for you, to be gathered in your house and to hear your words. Lord, to present ourselves to you as willing vessels, that you would place your Spirit within us, Lord, and quicken your word to us, that we might be expressions of you in this hour. Lord, it's a dark world out there. We realize that someone needs to live this gospel, and no matter how wicked it gets, we know, God, that you'll always have a people that will stand for your truth. We ask, God, that you would make us that people. Lord, that we would stand for the only thing that's really worth standing for, and that's the gospel message of eternal life that you've sent. And so, Lord, we accept you this morning and ask that you would come and take preeminence in this service this morning, that you would cause each one of us, Lord, to surrender to you, get ourselves out of the way, and let you inhabit us, or let you cause us to act out, say, receive all that you would have for us to receive this morning. We ask you, God, that you would do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can be seated. I realized that today, in pulpits all across America, that the churches are facing a challenge, and so God knew that. He knew that would be coming, and what time it would come. And so I realized that I know that perhaps any service that is ministered today, no matter where it is around this nation, is probably going to be downloaded and listened by authorities, because they want to know who doesn't agree with their agenda. We know that. There's plenty of proof out there to show that they are monitoring and doing those things. And still yet, in the midst of all that, the Christian has to be a Christian.
Right.
And he's really genuine. He's a genuine believer at heart, and he knows he's met the Lord Jesus Christ in his own personal walk. You can't talk him out of it. He knows God is real, and he knows His Word is right. And when a man's walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ, it doesn't make a bit of difference what the world says about it. He knows what he's looking at. And so the world can do and say whatever they want, but the believer has to be a believer regardless. And it's always been that way. It's been a bloody gospel from the beginning. And it's always been much bloodshed in order to have God's people be saved. And so there's trials, there's tribulations, there's those kind of things that we know we have to endure. But God said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, what did He say He would do? He would raise up a standard against it. So we know He will always do that. And so I realize, you know, it's a tough time. But I want you just to give me just a moment before we get into this, and this may sound like a fairy tale, and it kind of is, but I just want to say this because it might help some people understand why we have to stand for what we stand for. And so maybe the kids will like this. You know, let's just say there was a king, and this king had a very nice, very vast domain, and was the most wonderful place that you could ever go and live. And in this place where this king had his domain, you didn't die there. You didn't have pain there. If you lived there, the king took care of all your needs. All you had was just love and joy and good times. It's all taken care of by the king. And so the king sent out a message throughout all the earth, and he said, I want to invite everybody in the world to come be in my kingdom. I want you to come because I love you, and I'd like for you to be able to be under my care and for me to take care of you. And he sent out into all the world, and he said, I want you to come. I want you to start wherever you're at, and wherever you are in the world, I want you to start moving this way and start heading toward my kingdom. And as you come this way, you're gonna meet men who are my servants, and they're going to help you, guide you to make sure you get here. And as you come, these men they're going to observe you, and they're going to observe what you're packing and different things. And if they see something about you that they know is not allowed in the king's kingdom, they're going to let you know. You can't go with that. You might as well just leave that alone. Just set it off to the side of your journey and just leave it, because that's not allowed in there. Okay? And so they're going to tell you that. And so you just keep moving this way. And you need to listen to what these men tell you as you run into them, because they're ordained of the king to tell you that. And as you approach closer and closer, they're going to get stricter. They're going to be telling you a lot more about what you need to leave off and what you can and cannot bring into this kingdom. And when you finally get to the edge of the kingdom, you'll find that there's a great wall there, and there's no way you can go around or over that wall. The only way you can do it is to go through the gate. And if you have anything in your life or anything in your journey, if you're trying to pack something that is not allowed in that kingdom, when you get to that gate, they're not going to let you through there. You will not be able to live in a place where there's no pain and no sorrow. You're not going to be able to live in this place where the king will take care of you, supply your food, supply your apparel. You won't be able to do it just simply because you're trying to pack something that's not allowed over there. Everybody understand? So how ignorant it would be for someone to walk up to that gate with something that they know that them servants and those men who were appointed of the king have said, you can't come here with this. How ignorant it would be to try to come through that gate anyway with it, because it's not going to happen. Right? Now you know I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. There can't be over there a liar. There can't be over there a murderer, an adulterer, right? Those spirits can't be there, because guess what? If those things were allowed there, it wouldn't be heaven. Right? I gave the example the other night. Would it be okay to take tuberculosis and inject it into your body? And everybody says, no, it's not okay. Why? Because it will tear down. Yeah. So that's not allowed in there. I'm not going to allow you to put that in me. You understand? God's not going to allow something in that kingdom that don't blow. Something that would tear down that kingdom from within inside. You see what I'm saying? That's why we have to come clean of these things. But God has given us His servants to tell us. He's given us His Word. And through our journey, He's given us opportunity to allow the grace of God to get things off of us that aren't allowed there. And it's up to us to allow that to happen and let those things take place in our life. Because when we get there, we're not going in if we have those things. See, so God is the author of life. He institutes things that are life. And so you know what he told that he's the one that tells the buck deer and the does how they live. Right? If they cease to do those things that he laid out for them how to survive, they're not going to survive. He put something in the deer to know that they need to look and listen constantly because there is adversaries there that will destroy them if they don't act that way. What if they let down the bar and just quit looking and listening?
Right.
How long would they last? It wouldn't last very long.
No.
And that's the way it is with the believer. God has told us what is a way of life, and that way of life causes us to live and be perpetual. Right? In other words, we'll have offspring. We'll have, and it'll just keep right on living and being a human race. But you do something different than that, and it's death. And it takes man and woman for there to be more people. Anything outside of that is not of God. Because it just, there's no life in it. And so that's one reason why. So it's not going to be allowed there. Those spirits are not going to be allowed there. Because God knows that they wouldn't be any good for His kingdom. And so we're talking about leadership this morning. And actually what I just told you goes right along with that, if we really think about it. We know that Brother Branham, just before he left, through all the ministry that he had and all the things that God did, that shook a gift of divine healing around the world. As you've heard me say, I've read the books and I've read I got a friend that's got an encyclopedia of charismatic movements. It's about that thick. And they all attribute and say that the divine healing movement that took place in the 40s and 50s, it was all spearheaded because they all got their inspiration from watching one little old man from Kentucky who had a divine gift that was ministered to him. And he took it around the world. And it stirred their hearts. They'll tell you that. I can show you the proof. I can show video clips where men who are on television will stand there and tell you, this is what happened. I saw William Branham. And I saw what God did through that man's life. And that shook me. And so we find out that through all the things that God had done, and we know why God sent him here, but right at the end of his ministry, the last sermon that he preached was communion. But the next to the last thing was the leadership message. And so he after all those years of ministry and all the things that God had done and all the wonderful sermons that the Lord had given him, he's coming down to his last sermon. What would it be that he would feel led of God to preach? And that would be leadership. And so it reminds me of, if you go back in the scriptures, it reminds me of Moses. When God used a man, just a simple man, a man that was really a coward, right? But a man. And God moved through that man to bring to pass his scripture, to bring the children of Israel who had sinned and put the spiritual out and got into bondage down in Egypt. And Pharaoh was now their taskmaster, and they were slaves to Pharaoh. And God promised that when that happened, he would send someone along to take him out. And that was Moses. So he anointed Moses. And Moses went down there and took the children of Israel out of Egypt, absolutely destroyed Pharaoh and his whole kingdom in order to get God's people out, to fulfill scriptures, takes them out, goes out and is taking them to the promised land, delivers to them the law of Moses and the commandments and all the things there. And then it's time for Moses to leave. And what happens? Right as he's getting ready to leave and God's going to take him off the earth, Moses sets the children of Israel down, so to speak, and he rehearses everything that God had done. And he said, this is what happened, and this is the history. You've been here, and you know God did this, and we did this, and did this. And he gets all the way down, and he rehearses everything that happened, and then he tells the people what to do with that. And what did he tell them? He said, don't you add to, and don't you take away.
That's right.
Don't add to this word, and don't you take away from this word. Because if you do, you're going to be in trouble. But he went on to say, but don't you add to or take away, right? Don't you add to or take away. But he said, there will arise a prophet from among your brethren like unto me. And it's speaking of Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass that him ye shall hear. Because if you don't hear him, you'll be cut off from among the people. In other words, you'll be lost. So he tells the children of Israel, here's what God has given to you to live by. You live by it. Don't you add to it. Don't you take away from it. Because if you do, you're in trouble. But God will bring a furtherance of this message someday. And when he brings that servant on the scene, then He's going to give you a higher standard than this. And so you live by this, but when he comes, you listen to him. And if he says something, then you listen to him, because if you don't, you'll perish. And so Jesus comes along, and he fulfills that. Jesus comes along and he says, it's written in your law, thus and thus, but I say.
Yeah.
And it's written, but I say. How many times did he do that?
Right.
So he was the fulfillment of that. And so I just, when I think of Brother Branham, here's at the end, and he gets right down the end, and what's he going to tell the people? You know, what's the thing that he could tell them that they need to hear more than anything else? And what was it? It was leadership.
Right.
And he took in the message of leadership, he took the example of what we call the rich young ruler. Now, for those that may not remember that story, but you remember there came to Jesus a young man. He was a rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, Master, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? He said, good master. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, that's the Father. But he said, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. He named several of the commandments. And Jesus said, you know those. And the young man responded and said, from my youth I have kept all of these. I've kept these commandments from my youth. You know, most of us, pretty much all of us, couldn't say that.
Yeah.
We couldn't say that we kept all the Ten Commandments from our youth. This man could.
Yeah.
And Jesus was the Word made flesh, and the Word always corrects the error. So if that boy had been lying, Jesus would have called him on it.
Yeah.
That boy had kept the commandments from his youth. So he had a much higher standard than what you and I had,
right?
And so he said, I've done all this. And Jesus said to him, said, well, if you want to enter into eternal life, here's what you need to do. You need to take all your goods and sell them, give to the poor, then pick up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Now, it may sound like that Jesus is basically commanding the whole world, you can't have any riches or anything like that. And he goes on to clarify there that, yeah, with man it's impossible that you could be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven, but with God all things are possible. So that's not what the issue was. But the issue there was that this young man, regardless of how well and what kind of a standard he had had in his life, he still had something that was in the way between him and God.
Yeah.
And standing before the Word's obviously going to point that out. If you have something in your life that's amiss, the Word of God is going to point that out to you. Why? Because it's a man posted along the way to tell you what you need to do for you so you can enter into the gate.
Right.
See, going back to my story a while ago. And so, so he had one thing that was wrong, and that was that his riches were more important to him than eternal life was.
Right.
That's the issue. So Brother Branham uses this as the example to tell us, and I think it's a good example because we know that God's done great things, and we know that there's a tremendous amount of scriptures that was foretold for our day that has been brought to pass right before us, beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know we're at this hour that God said would come. And so we know that we're following the true message of God that has been given to this age. We know that. So within that, we might have a tendency to begin to think that we are the elite, and that we're good, and we're this, and we're that. But we could make the same mistake this young man did. We could make the mistake this young man did in thinking that we've attained to something and we've done all this, and I've been to church and I've listened to the sermons and I support the message. But all that won't work for us if there's something else in the way.
That's right.
And every one of us has something in our life that we need to look at and say, this is what I need to address. And so that's what it was. It wasn't all the things that he did, but it's that one thing he wasn't doing.
Right.
And that's the way it is with you and I. So I see why Brother Branham brought our attention to this. Because we all have that ability, and especially in an end time message, to say, well, you know, we've got it. But if there's something in the way of you surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to be your problem if you try to enter in without it.
Yeah.
And so we find out that man, that rich young ruler, lifted up his eyes in hell one day. He was lost. Okay? And so we don't want to be like him. We don't want to perish. And so God has done tremendous things. Now I want to ask you something. If he said he would send Elijah the prophet, to bring a restoration. Why would God say that? It's because we needed it.
Yeah.
If God said, I'm going to send you, Jesus actually said so, you know, that lies shall come. That's future tense, right? So Jesus said, lies shall come and restore all things. Well, if that is to come, when it comes to bring a restoration, will the people have to hear it? They'll have to hear it. Jesus was the answer to the man, the rich young ruler. He was the answer. And he was given the ability to listen to leadership. And that leadership was going to tell him what was wrong. That leadership was going to tell him, here's what you need to do in order to enter into eternal life. And he had a choice whether to receive or reject that leadership. You don't lead yourself. You're a sheep. You can't lead yourself. Your thinking doesn't matter if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, because He's our shepherd. See? We have to listen to leadership and let that leadership guide us. And that leadership is not another sheep. That leadership is God, and that leadership is His Word, and that leadership is ordained ministry of God, proven to be ministry of God, to bring that to you. And the Holy Spirit in you will quicken that to you as it's brought, so you will know it's truth.
Yeah.
Right? And so, we've been given all this truth and scriptures that was to come to pass, and now we've got to take heed to it, because if He said there needed to be a restoration and He was going to send a ministry to bring a restoration, it's because the church needed it. And there's other scriptures that tell us that He was going to do this. So if it's the hour of restoration, then there's a leadership that has been delivered to us from God, and we have to listen to that leadership. And that leadership will not be taking away from the Word of God. It won't even be added to the Word. But that leadership will take this Bible and make it a new book, where you see levels and dimensions of what God's telling us that you never saw before. Right? That's the way it works. And so, here we are at the end, and we're given a choice. We're in a problem. We need restoration. We need rapturing faith. We need to be prepared so that when it comes time to go through that gate, there's nothing on us that'll keep us from going. And so God has given us what we need to make that possible. But we have to make a choice. Will we listen to leadership, or will we do like the rich young ruler and walk away from Jesus Christ? Because if God has placed a divine gift in your presence, that is Jesus Christ in your presence.
Yeah.
Not the person, but you understand. Because Jesus said, if they receive you, they receive me. And if they receive me, they receive him that sent me. If they reject you, they reject me. Because if he sends you, you're an ambassador. So to reject those he sends is to reject him, is to reject God altogether.
That's
right. See? And so we know it's a very, very tremendous hour. So God's given us this chance, and he's given us his truth in this hour. And so no wonder Brother Brandon come along and taught on leadership to let us know that God has done great things here, and he's revealed a lot of truths, and we see them right there in the scripture. And now we've got to make a choice. Are we going to let these things dictate our lives? And I say dictate, that's not really a good word, because he's not a dictator. But are we going to let these things be our choice? Because if we accept that as the leadership of God, then it will take us through. And that's the way it works. Now, we read the scripture about in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And let me explain this just a little bit so everybody understands. This is talking about adoption. And Bible adoption is not our kind of adoption. And our kind of adoption here in the Western world, remember, this is an Eastern book. The Bible is written in an Eastern manner, okay? Because God had delivered his customs to Israel, and their customs, the way they lived, also typed the shadows of God's economy. And so God had delivered to Israel and to the children of Israel the custom of what they called adoption. And our form of adoption is that we've got a family, say for the Roberts family, and we go out and we find somebody from the Joneses who needs a parent. And we go out and we adopt that person and now make them a Roberts. And now they become heir, and they're part of the family just like the rest of them are, except for one problem. They don't have the bloodline that the rest of the family has.
Yeah.
Jewish adoption is not like that. The Jewish adoption is this, that only sons can be adopted. Only the sons of God, or sons of a man. And so a man would have a son, and of course this man maybe had a big farm or something like that, and that the purpose was that that child was going to be raised up and eventually someday would take the father's business. And so that child, already by heir, by his birth, by bloodline, he is an offspring of the father, but their custom says that he's no different than a servant out there in the field until the father says he can be exalted to the position of authority. So Jewish adoption is this concept that a child of God, in this example, because he goes on to explain that, that a child of God is under tutors, and is, even though he's going to rule this earth someday, even though he's going to be Lord of all, for the time being, he has to submit himself to the authorities and to the tutor, and he's no different than that slave working along beside him in the field, or that servant in the field. He's no different, though he is Lord of all by genetics. Everybody understand that? But adoption means that when he has finally been taught enough and the tutor comes to the dad and says, he's ready. I've watched him, I've taught him, and he's got what it takes now. He can now be put into power and authority. That's what the believer is looking for. Do you know, the Bible lets us know that this earth and the earthquakes, the earth itself, creation itself is groaning. It's desirous for the manifestation of the sons of God. This earth knows that the earth was lost in the garden, it was in the hands of Satan, and it knows it should be in the hands of the children of God, and it's groaning and longing for that time to come. Right? So this is talking about when a child is now brought to authority, and what happens is the, in the Jewish custom, when that time come where the child was ready to go into authority and be about the father's business, the father would call a special meeting together, and he'd take and he'd have like a scaffolding or a high place in the city, and he'd take the son and lift him up before all the people, and he'd put a white robe around the son, and he would proclaim to all the townspeople and all the merchants and all the business people, this is my son. He is now adopted. He is now in authority. He's got the same purchasing power, business decision power that I have. Because he's my son, and now he's been adopted. That's the Jewish adoption. So when we read that, it said that that son was no different than a servant, though he'd be Lord of all. But he has to remain there and be under tutors and be taught until what? Till he comes to that place. And then at that time appointed to the Father, then he can be exalted into authority. Yeah. You and all as Christians are going to be exalted into authority. Someday there's going to be a sweep come over us and our body change, but it'll be manifest just before that. But we're coming to adoption because we're the children of God. But we have to submit to that process. That process is that we have to be under tutors, and we have to learn what? We have to be under leadership.
Right.
He has to learn. Now what happens if that child just refuses to learn and refuses to pick up on the good business practices that is given to him by the tutor, and he never comes to that place where he can handle the authority? Will the father ever give him that business? It'll never happen. It'll never happen. And God will never give to you and I the things that we long for if we don't let his leadership and the tutorship that he has to work with us and teach us, that we might learn from the things the experiences we have, till he finally looks at us and says the character is there. It'll never happen if we don't surrender to leadership. So that's why I wanted to bring that in there. That's the process. The process is you submit to leadership, you submit to tutors, and they will exalt you. Because I said a while ago, you can't lead yourself, you can't exalt yourself, you can't give yourself a promotion. If you're in a workplace, you don't get a promotion because you decide one. You get a promotion because somebody higher than you looks at you and says they've got character enough to have a promotion.
Yeah.
Right? What if you take it without them giving it to you?
Right.
Then you become a thief. You have something that really don't belong to you.
Right.
So we cannot possess the power and authority of spoken word of God, creative power. We can't have that if God don't give it to us, and we're not going to go take it. Because if we could take it, we'd be thieves. Because if he's not ready to give it to us, then we really don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? And so here's this process of leadership. We have to submit to that, and that leadership will bring us to a place where God is ready to give you his blessing. Now, what I just described there happens over and over in our experiences all the time. Every time you go through a trial and something's bothering you and you're pressed beyond measure and you want to do something about it, but you can't. Why? Because you haven't been adopted to victory over that trial yet. But once you learn from that trial what you're supposed to learn, once you have figured out through that tutorship, through that pressure, just like Jesus learning obedience by the things he suffered, just like that, once we catch it, what God wants us to learn from that trial, then he'll speak. And you'll rise up above that trial and it'll be under your feet.
Amen.
You had a miniature adoption when that happens.
Yeah.
And the next day you enter into another trial.
Because
you don't just take one test in school and now, voila, you're ready for the world. It's one test after another test, grade after another grade. You just keep having test, and finally you reach that point where you're ready to go out into the world. You understand what I'm saying? Well, it's the same way. God will not give us the ability to speak and create things like he does until we reach that point. Everybody understand that? But that's the lot that's coming to the Son of God. The Son and Daughter of God is coming to that spot once they have submitted to leadership. What's another reason why we need leadership? Well, I've said this many times. I've never been in a rapture before. I don't know how to get there. Does anybody here know how to get there? Then we need somebody to lead us, right?
Yeah.
What if we don't accept that leadership? Who's been there? Jesus. Not William Graham. Jesus.
Yeah.
He was the one that did this. And so he's the one that has to hold our hand. And in this service, Brother Graham said, you know what? Your first step you took, you had somebody who was holding your hand. And your last step you take in your life, somebody's got to be holding your hand. And somebody will be holding your hand. And it better be the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that knows how to get you there. And so that's another reason why we need leadership. But the process, I want to really focus on this process, is that you have to submit yourself to that leadership and those tutors and let them bring you along until they say you could be promoted. And then when that happens, then you don't have to fake anything. You don't have to muster up something and work up something. You'll have it at that point. So I want to turn our attention to the story of the prodigal son. And I didn't have tell of the scriptures, but I'll rehearse the story. Those of you who remember it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But the prodigal son was, there was a father had two sons. And one day the younger son came to the father and said, Father, give to me my goods, my portion that's coming to me. In other words, he wanted his inheritance. He said, give to me my inheritance, basically. And so the father gave and divvied out his portion. And a few days after that, this young son, the younger of the two sons, he takes his portion and all his goods and he leaves and goes to a faraway country and he begins to live in riotous living with harlots and with all kinds of drinking and all kinds of nonsense. The riches of the father that was to be given to him, he took that and he squandered it.
Yeah.
And after a while of doing that, because you know that kind of lifestyle, you know where it leads. After a while, this son is over here and he's broke. He's got no friends. Nobody to help him, and so he's going to have to do something now. And so he goes and he joins himself to a citizen of the country he's in, and they send him out into the field to begin to feed swine, pigs. And so he's out there feeding these pigs, and in his mind he's thinking back over there in his father's house, and he's feeding these swine, and he gets so hungry and so down in his condition that he begins to think about eating some of that, the husk, and eating some of the food that the swine. How many knows the Bible says that? He starts pretending and thinking in his mind, I could just eat some of this, you know. And at that point, the Bible says he came to himself. And he realized, he said, wait a minute. How many servants in my father's house have plenty to eat with extra left over? And here I am, down here, about to eat the food of a swine. He says, you know what I'll do? I'll return to my father's house and I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a servant. Because a servant, being a servant under my father, is better than what this out here the world had to offer. You understand what I'm saying? This is the concept. Satan wants to make you think the world's got plenty to offer. But if you're a child of God, you will realize, if you haven't already, that it's better to be back here in Father's house, even as a servant, than to be off out there in the world. Now, when I say as a servant, now go to the adoption. You're Lord of all, but until you are adopted, you are no different than a servant. You've got to sit here and you've got to go through, you've got to toil with the thinking, and you've got to say this, well, why am I here? Why am I out here in the sweat and the heat of the day just like these other servants? I'm Lord of the whole thing. Why can't I just go ahead and have my power now? That's what kids do. Kids want to have their authority and their power before they're ready for it. Who knows when they're ready for it? Father? Parents? Right? But the kids always think they're ready for it. So this prodigal son, he thought he was ready for it and he wanted that. And so as soon as he got it, he showed he didn't know how to do nothing with it. And he went out and he wasted it. He's lucky he didn't wind up dead.
Yeah.
But the scripture said he come to himself. What are we saying here? He got in the wrong mindset.
That's right.
And that wrong mindset, that wrong attitude to authority, that wrong mindset, that wrong attitude to the process. What's the process? Stay right here, work hard every day, work, and someday it'll be given to you and then you'll have it. But the wrong mindset, it began to eat on him, and he said, I want it now. And you say, well, why? You would think, well, why did the father give it to him? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If a kid gets in his mind that he wants it, he's going to have it now, you're not going to keep him from having that mindset. You can't sit down and talk to him because it'd make him change his mind. It's not going to happen. They got to go out. And so he goes out. He gets a wrong mindset, a wrong attitude to authority, to his tutor, to the process of how you come to authority. He didn't want nothing to do with it. I want it now. So he headed off over here to this faraway country and lived that way, lived wickedly, taking that gift of his father and squandering it, which would be like us. Taking the gift of life that God's given us and going and living for the devil instead of being over here and being honorable, living for God, doing the things that are right. We're out here serving the devil, and meanwhile, while we think we're having a good time, the life is being sapped out of us. So he went with a wrong mindset, but at some point, the scripture said he came to himself. What happened? Somehow he got out from underneath that mindset, that wrong influence, that wrong spirit. And when that left him, his thinking changed. Now remember, he was over here and he was walking in bitterness. Why do I have to do this? Why am I here? I just have my... You understand how kids are. You understand what I'm talking about. So he's sitting over here in a position where he is blessed. He's going to be Lord. He's going to have all these things someday, but he don't want to submit to the process. I'm tired of it. So he runs off over here and he goes to some other place and here's what happens. But now, once he's went out here and sowed all these seeds and done all this stuff, then he comes to himself. And he realizes once he's over here, you know what? It wasn't so bad back in mama's dad's house after all. It wasn't so bad being a son over there having to wait after all. As a matter of fact, once he reached out and come to that mindset, then he realized, you know what? I'd be better off to be a servant than I am now. If God is dealing with you, that's exactly the way you feel about your life of sin. That's exactly the way we feel. I'd be better off if I was just a doorman at the house of God than I would be out here with riches. Living in adultery and all those kinds of things. You understand the concept I'm talking about. And so think of this. The Bible said when that son began to come back to his father seemed far off and rejoiced and ran and fell on his neck and hugged him and kissed him and told the servant, go bring a robe and put on him. Go bring a ring and give him and kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration. Remember the story? And so it also showed how that the other brother heard the rejoicing when he came back, and he's like, what's going on? Why are they having a party in the house? And the servant said, well, your brother's come back, and your dad has killed the fatted calf, and they're rejoicing and having a good time. Well, the older brother was mad, and he's like, I'm not going in there. So the father came out to him and said, son, what's wrong? And he said, Dad, he said, I've been with you all these years, and I didn't do like him. I didn't go out and squander and do all that stuff and live in righteous living. And he's done all that, and you kill a fatted calf. You've never done that for me. And the father said this, and I think this is one of the most important things you can get out of this. The father said this. He said, you're always with me. He said, but your brother, he was lost. And now he's found. Now here's what I want to show you. The wrong mindset, lost. The right mindset, found. Does everybody understand that? The wrong mindset will make you lost. But the right mindset, what the right revelation, the right understanding, what? The right attitude toward the process of what brings you to authority, what brings you to maturity, what brings you to power. That right attitude toward that is life. Go read Proverbs now. In the light of that, tell me if it don't tell you that 100 times over.
Yeah.
In Proverbs. The right attitude toward leadership, toward correction. But the wrong attitude was death. So he said, this your brother, he was lost, but now he's found. And so, the correct mindset brought him back with thankfulness. Prior to that, he had bitterness, was not thankful, wanted to get away, couldn't wait to get away from his daddy's authority.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to get it. You see what I'm saying? But the right mindset, he was happy to be into that kingdom. And so, if you think that living for the world it's nice, then you haven't come to the right mindset yet. Because I have tasted the world,
yeah.
And I know what it does. And I've tasted of God, and I know that He's good. Yeah. And so, now, what we do with what God gives us matters.
Yeah.
It matters in everything in the world. God gives to us, and we are accountable for what He gives us. And if we mistreat what He gives us, what we do with that, if we mistreat it, it will determine where we go next. What happens to us next. It absolutely will. And so I'm going to go through several places of Scripture to remind you. It matters what we do with what gives us, and it mattered in Romans chapter 1. Everybody remember what Romans chapter 1 is? You can write this down and go read it if you're not familiar with it. Romans chapter 1 says that when they knew God, they were familiar with Him, they knew Him, they did not glorify Him as God, but they begin to make Him like unto something else besides what He was, something lesser than God, and they begin to make Him like full-footed creatures and all that. And He's talking about people who went off into idolatry. But the concept here is that when you know God and you fail to recognize Him in that high position, you'll begin to bring Him down and make Him something lesser than a holy God who's bought your redemption. When they knew Him, they failed to recognize Him, and they begin to pervert what He is.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Scripture said, therefore God gave them over. And I forget exactly how it says it, but the concept is this, is that if God doesn't have His hand on you, you're going to destroy yourself.
Right.
And so He just takes His hand off of them. When He wants to show Himself, and He reveals Himself to them, and they fail to reciprocate that, and they begin to pull away from that, they pull away from God. And at some point, when they pull away from Him, He just steps back like that, and where do they go? What did they do? Go read it. When that's what happened, he said God gave them over, and they basically unclean spirits got upon them. And he said their men began to work with men, that which is unseemly.
Yeah.
And the man left the natural use of the woman, turning man burning in his lust one or another, and the women. He goes straight from that and describes the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you why the Supreme Court made their decision they did. Because this nation, when they knew God, they failed to continue to glorify Him as God.
Right.
They resisted His ways. They resisted His end time message. They pushed away from it, took the prayer out of school, took the Bibles out. They have pulled away from Him. So he says, okay. Because he's a gentleman, he'll never force. So he just backs away, and guess what they do? They do exactly what the Scripture says they do. They have to go. So I'm absolutely astonished at how many people have left the ranks of what you and I believe is Christianity, have left that, and now you see their postings on Facebook and places. They endorsed this Supreme Court decision. You know what they did? They knew God. They walked in the same walk that you and I did at one time, and they turned away from it.
Right.
And in turning away from God, they're going to their own self, their own fleshly desires that's in them, and without something in you to keep you lined out, you go the way of the world.
That's right.
And that's what they've done. So we knew it would happen. But that's the result. So these people stand up and say, well, this, well, that. No, I'll tell you why you're like this. Because you turned your back on God. That's exactly what it is. And so it mattered what those people in Romans, it would matter what they did with what God had gave them. They knew Him, and they didn't glorify Him as God. They didn't take what He had given and hold it precious and hold it in high regard. And that's what happened to them. It also matters when you read those in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians talks about a people, and it said that they received not the love of the truth, and they believed not the truth. How many remembers that? So once again, here's a people that truth was manifested to them, but they wouldn't receive it. Truth was put before them and they wouldn't believe it. Well, if you can't believe truth, you're going to believe a lie.
Yeah.
Jesus said this in John 5:43. He actually said this. He said, I am come in my Father's name and ye receive me not. If another shall come in His name, him ye will receive. If you're a sheep and you run away from your shepherd, you're going to meet the wolf. You understand?
Right.
So in 2 Thessalonians, truth was manifested to them, and they would not receive the love of that truth, and they wouldn't believe that truth. And so therefore the Scripture said they went into strong delusion, that God would send them strong delusion, that they would believe a lie and be damned by it.
Right.
Because listen, if you won't take Him, if you won't take leadership, what's left? Destruction.
Yeah.
And there's only one true leadership. It comes from God.
Yeah.
And He has many offices. He gives you parents that will take care of you and watch over you. That's leadership. That's godly leadership. See, you know what I'm saying? The first commandment with promise. What does it say? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long on the earth. Why? Because you take a little kid that won't obey mom and dad and they run out in the street anyway and they get killed. If you'll listen to your leadership, you'll live long. If you'll listen to your heavenly leadership, you'll definitely live long throughout eternity.
Yeah.
But if you resist leadership, it's just a simple concept. It's not something hard. And so the Scripture said there in 2 Thessalonians, they didn't receive the truth or love of the truth. And so, once again, they went to a lie. God came down to Cain. When Cain and Abel both offered sacrifices, offered, not sacrifices, but offered an offering to the Lord. And Abel offered an animal, and Cain offered the fruits of the ground. And God had respect to Abel, but He didn't have respect to Cain. Cain was mad about it. Cain was wroth about it. And God actually came down and told Cain, said, listen, if you'll do like your brother, you'll be accepted. Remember that? God told him. In other words, truth was manifested to him. Here's what to do. But Cain couldn't do it. Cain refused that truth.
That's right.
So what did he do from there? You know the life that he went to. Why? Because he rejected the truth that was manifested to him.
Yeah.
And so, what Cain did with what God gave him mattered. What you do with what he gives you matters.
Yeah.
Listen, you may think that any day of the week, when you get ready, you'll repent. You can't do it if he ain't dealing with your heart.
That's right.
He said to the Laodicean age, I knock. I stand at the door and knock. And if you'll open up and let me in, I'll sup with you. But if he ain't knocking, you're not going to let him in. Don't make the mistake of thinking, because I've had men tell me this. Well, I'll at the last minute, I'll call on the Lord. I had a guy say, what are you going to do if you look up and you see the atomic flash? Well, he said, I'll call on Jesus. You want to live that way? You going to wait till you get in your hospital, dying, last breath, and don't know whether or not? What about that woman that realized she was wrong? Realized, Brother Bram tells about it, Brother Neville. And they tried to tell her because she's a Sunday school teacher, but she was living wrong, come up with a social disease. But yet she was in church.
Yeah.
She's a piano player, whatever it was she held. They tried to tell her, and she got sassy. And Brother Bram told Brother Neville, he said, when she comes to die, you watch what happens. And she's laying there in the bed, and all of a sudden, when she's about to take her last breath or two, she breaks into that dimension and realizes she's lost. And she calls for a preacher and says, go get the pastor. And when he walks in the door, she said, you deceiver of men, my soul's going to hell because you didn't tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah. And they go and they get what they call a hypo, but they gave her a shot to silence her confession. She wanted to repent right there on her last, and they just say, you don't know, but you're going to have the ability to repent. Don't take that route. Don't wait till the last minute.
Amen.
You get it done now. Because you don't know. And so, it mattered what Cain did with what God had given him. He didn't hold it in high regard, and it cost him dearly.
Yeah.
And there's story upon top of story upon top of story. But I'm going to go to one, and then I'm going to finish what I'm sharing with you this morning. It matters what you do with what God gives you and what your authority, your leadership tells you. It pains to obey. And it mattered for Shimei. How many of you remember Shimei, who he was in the Bible? And I'll tell you who he was, some of you probably don't remember. But you remember when David had become king and David's son wanted to take the throne from his own dad.
Yeah.
And his dad was running, was not on the throne, and he was running and he was hiding in caves and he was moving about and they were trying to find him and catch him and all these different things that were going on. Now, David was king.
Yeah.
David was God's choice. Not Absalom, not somebody else, I know that Saul at one time, but David was God's man, and he was a man after God's own heart. And David, God promised David, of your seed, I'll raise up your seed to sit on the throne forever, which the son of David was Solomon, and he had a reign of peace. But that spiritually is talking about Jesus Christ. He comes as the son of David to set up a millennium, 1,000 years of peace. So whenever we talk about David and Solomon, we're talking about, when we say Solomon, keep in mind we're talking about Christ at his second coming when he sets up peace on this earth.
Yeah.
Okay? And the scripture tells us that all judgment is given to the Son. Right? In other words, the Father, there's issues that he could take and deal with, but he doesn't. He says, I'll let my Son take care of that when he comes to authority. Now that right there shows you that God's got some things he wants to take care of, but he's waiting on you to come to authority.
Yeah.
And he's going to do some stuff when you come to it. And he's going to take care of some things that he's allowed to remain here throughout the seven church ages. He is allowing that, but at the coming of Christ and at the adoption of sons, the sonship is going to take care of this. And so David is God's choice, but he's not on the throne yet. Not at that time. He had been, but he was not accepted as king. Just like you're not right now on this earth. But David was running, And this guy came out, Shimei came out, and he was throwing rocks at David. How many remember that now? He was throwing rocks at David and at all the men that was around David. And he was saying to David, you know, Saul is supposed to be king, and you took his position, and now you're going to get what comes to you because your son is raised up and ousted you off the throne. And so here's this man who absolutely is resisting the divine plan of God for who's going to be in authority.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah.
And he's throwing rocks and all that. And one of David's soldiers said, I'll just go over and take that dog's head off his neck. And David said, leave him alone. Don't do it. Because God has told him to curse David. Let it be. But when David come back to power later on and got back on the throne, this same man comes to him and falls before him and repents and says, oh, forgive me, I did wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You know what he was trying to save his neck.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, you know. And so David promised that I won't lay a finger on you. Sounds good, huh? But all judgment is committed to the Son.
Yeah.
So when David is laying on his deathbed, and he commissions his son, Solomon, son of David. And Solomon, the son of David, is now coming to power. And David's laying there and he says, Solomon, you remember Shimei and what he did? Yeah. He said, Solomon, you're a wise man. You're a wise man. Don't let him go down to his grave in peace. Now David said, I won't touch him. Now you might look at that and say, oh, well, David was not, that was a lie, because then later on he told Solomon to go do something about it. But we've got to catch the revelation of the economy of God.
Yeah.
Shimei had a spirit and a nature about him that was not good for the kingdom. Yeah. He couldn't be allowed. Has to be removed. Because he had been a constant problem. See what I'm saying? When God sent in people into a land and they had to get rid of them, it was because they were not going to be supportive of what God is trying to do to redeem his people.
Yeah.
And so he says, Solomon, you're a wise man. Don't you let him go down to the grave in peace. So Solomon now knows he's authority. He's come to power, and judgment that should have been meted out back then is now going to be meted out. This is what's wrong with this world today. They think they can take the rainbow colors, which is a covenant with God, and they're going to make something filthy out of it.
Right.
They want to take a holy relationship that only God institutes and make something filthy out of it. Hijack God's covenant colors and hijack God's marriage arrangement, see? They think they're getting by with it. Why? Because David, all along, he let these things ride. But when it come time for Solomon, the son of David, to come and have authority, how would he ever have a day of peace unless those things are dealt with?
Yeah.
Right? You'll never have peace in your walk unless you let God deal with those things that's not right. You may not believe that. You can say, Brother Tony, I don't believe that. Okay, go your way. In 6 months from that, come back and tell me, have you had a peaceful walk? We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Until we surrender to him, we're not going to have peace in our life. And so, here's the son of David. He's going to be in power. He's in power, and now he's going to go and he's going to deal with Shimei. He didn't just go down there and kill him. What did he do? So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36. He's got it. We'll read through this, and I'll make some comments, and then we'll close. And this is King Solomon. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem means peace. Right? Salem, peace. Jerusalem, peace. So he says, Shimei, I want you to go and build you a house in the city of peace. Everybody follow me.
Yeah.
I'm authority. And I'm telling you what to do. And if you'll do what I tell you, you'll have a life of peace.
Yeah.
Follow me. Go build this house in Jerusalem and dwell there and go not forth thence anywhere. I think the Lord tells us that. Enter into Christ Jesus and don't go out.
Right.
You'll have peace as long as you stay there. But if you go out and go to do something that he won't allow, you don't have peace.
Yeah.
For it shall be
Now this is how Solomon is going to bring judgment on this spirit that can't repent. This spirit that can't be allowed to go any further. He's going to deal with it. So he says, it shall be that in the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. So he just told him, you go build your place here, and this is the king, so he's the authority, right? You go live here and stay there, and you'll have a peaceful life. And if you don't obey my voice, and you do something contrary to that, that's it for you. Now, was that within the confines of normal living for a kingdom? A king to say, you do this, and if you don't, you're in trouble. That's acceptable behavior in those things. So, and Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king has said. So will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass after the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away to Achish, to the son of Maachah, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servant be in Gath. And Shimei rose and saddled an ass and went forth to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. Now what did he do? He left the walls of Jerusalem. Who left peace? Was it the king did it? Shimei did it. For his own fleshly desire. I got to have my servants back because they serve me. I want, for me. I'm going to transgress the word of the king for me. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither that thou shalt surely die, and thou saidst unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father, therefore the Lord shall return the wickedness upon thy own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and he died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. How did Solomon deal with it? He just simply set circumstances forth that he knew that evil spirit could never line up to. And I'm saying that because the Son of David is coming, and he's almost upon us right now, the millennium setting in. And all he's going to have to do is set forth circumstances that he knows that this bunch of renegades can never line up to. They can never take God's way for marriage. They can never take God's way for dress and for apparel and all the things. They will not listen to what God said. And all he's going to do is just lay it out there, and they will die because of their disobedience to the very leadership of God. Amen. Where God has vindicated with a divine message, this is the way to go, and they reject it. That's how many times your brother would say it. You reject God, the only thing that's left is judgment. But who doesn't? So this guy had said, David, you're not to be king. You're a renegade. You know, Saul, he was supposed to be, and look what you've done and all that. And now right here at the end, the very thing that Shimei was trying to say, it ain't coming to pass. David's not coming to power. This is not so. Contrary to the kingdom of God, right? Contrary to God's choice. And now at the end, here's the very word coming to pass. That very son that was to be birthed from that king he was rejecting, and from that word he was rejecting, that very power began to come to authority. And there that power stood right there and measured out everything and said, what you claimed wasn't going to happen, right before your eyes, you're going to see it. You're going to see the Son come to power, and that's the last thing you're going to see. You see it? And that's what happens. That's what's coming right now. That's exactly what's happening in this earth. And so, that's all he has to do is just create circumstances that'll cause what's in them to manifest, and which simply was nothing else but they couldn't obey the leadership of God's word. And so, as I said a little while ago, if you reject God, then the only thing left for you to go to is something else. You know, Ahab wouldn't listen to Elijah, right? Ahab wouldn't listen to Elijah. But a lying spirit got on to 400 prophets. Scripture said so. Elijah had prophesied and said, Ahab, you're going to die. The dog's going to lick your blood. You're going to do all this. And so, you know, Ahab didn't believe Elijah. Elijah's gone. And so it's come time for that word of Elijah to come to pass, that Ahab is going to be killed. King Ahab. And the scripture said that there was 400 prophets that all agreed and said, go out to battle, Ahab. Go out to battle and you'll win the battle. Everything will be fine. Now, Elijah, the true prophet of God, had then said, no, you're in big trouble, dude. But Ahab didn't want to believe that. He believed these prophets. And the scripture said that there was another prophet which was godly, and Jehoshaphat asked him, well, let's, is there any more? Let's go get another one. He said, well, there's another, but I don't like him because he's always saying bad things about me. That's what Ahab said. So they went and got this other prophet. And he said, I saw heaven, all the host of heaven, they were gathered together. And the Lord said, now, who are we going to send to make come to pass the word of my prophet Elijah concerning Ahab? So he's going to have to die, right? Ahab's going to die in battle. How are we going to bring this to pass? All the hosts of heaven there, God asked this, and a lying spirit comes up from below. This is what, how many knows the Bible? Or then, did it say this?
Yeah.
This lying spirit came up before the throne of God and said, I'll go down and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of them 400 prophets that Ahab is listening to. And I'll cause them to prophesy wrong words, and Ahab will believe it. Why would Ahab believe a lie? Because he'd already rejected truth.
Yep.
He'd already rejected truth. So he'd go to believe a lie. Do you think that, and this is what happened, that spirit got on them prophets, they said, go on up and do it. And so he went to battle and died in battle. Right? He got injured and come back. And so... Do you think that after he rejected the truth, and now he has bought into what these 400 prophets are saying, and Jehoshaphat's the godly king on the other side, and he's like, oh, this don't sound right, let's get another prophet. And this one was a real prophet, and he said, yeah, I saw a whole host of heaven. Well, Ahab and his 400 prophets got mad when they heard what this other prophet seen. He's seen host of heaven, he's seen a lying spirit, and they're like, what? Because he just basically said to the 400 prophets, you're liars. They didn't like that. And the king said, you lock him up and I'll deal with him when we come back. And he said, if you come back from battle, not at all, the Lord hadn't spoken to me. Okay? And of course, he died. My point is that after he had rejected truth and now had bought into a lie, did you think that he thought it was wrong? I'm saying this for a reason. There's people who are walking away from God and they buy hook, line, and sinker into something else that you and I know is taking them to their grave.
Yes.
And they don't want to hear it.
Right.
They bought into it. They don't believe it's wrong. They think it's right. But their error was way back there where they rejected truth to begin with. And I say that because I don't know how, if they can be helped, I don't know. But what about you and I? When we have before us the choice of whether or not we'll listen to the leadership of the Word of God or reject it. If we accept it, we're good. If we reject it and walk away from the Word of God, we walk away from leadership in our life. It might just be your mom and dad. It might be your preacher, your pastor. But if we walk away with the leadership of God, we walk away from it, then it's a blank slate. We can take upon us any spirit, any mindset, anything in the world out there contrary to the Word of God,
It's a blank slate, and we are subject to believing because we've rejected truth. Because all he has to do is just let you believe. And you're going to believe something, and somebody's going to lead your hand. And if it's not Jesus Christ leading you, it's going to be an evil spirit. That's just exactly how it is. So we have no power in our life whatsoever unless we embrace the Word of God. And that'll protect us. But if we reject that, then we're subject to whatever. Satan can put on you whatever he wants to if you're not in the safety of Christ. Amen. So, how many wants leadership in your life? Amen. I certainly want it too. I said the other night, I said, you know, we probably don't wake up every morning and when our feet hit the floor, we should say, Lord, more than anything else right now, I need your leadership for this day right now. I don't want to reject anything of your leading, anything of your word, because I know if I do, I ain't no telling where I'll wind up before the day's out. See, even a believer who's not lost, who God will bring back when they make a mistake, if we don't follow his leadership, we might wind up in the middle of everything. Because we've got to stay with him every day. As long as we stay in the household of God, following his leadership, we'll be fine. And you believe it?
Amen.
We don't want to be like Shimei, and I don't think you are. We certainly don't want to follow his patterns. Because God's getting ready to set up things in this world the way it's supposed to be. But before he'll ever have a millennium, he's going to have to deal with all the evil spirits. Amen? I believe that. Let's bow our hearts, let the musicians come up, and we'll sing a song or two just before we leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us today to be able to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and look upon your word, Lord, to see what, Lord, is happening in this hour, to see before us the battle that lays before us. We realize, Lord, that you didn't say it would be easy. You said we'd have battles, we'd have days, but you promised, Lord, that you would be with us. And so, Lord, as we fight the battles that's before us, and as we endeavor to believe your word, to walk in the truth, we don't realize that the enemy wants to rise up against it. But we're trusting in you, Lord, that you'll keep us in every way. Lord, that the word of God would be our light. And Lord, our pathway would be lit by your word, and we would follow the truth that you've given us, Lord, from your word. We pray, God, that you would give your people an extra strength, an extra anointing, God, that they would be able to go forth, Lord, with this truth that they have. As we've looked into your word today and see these things coming to pass and realizing what's going on, we ask, God, that you would allow us to truly embrace the leadership of your word that you've given us. Let us not have confidence in anything else, Lord, not in any success of anything we've ever done, Lord, but simply that we would cling to you, follow the leadership of your word. And Lord, that if there's anything that's in our way that's keeping us from serving you, Lord, that you would help us to realize what it is. I would say that probably people already know. And Lord, you would minister to them the grace to lay those things down that they could follow you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing a song.
I have to apologize to Brother Tim
because I almost never have a song in my mind when I come to the end of service, but I'm always trusting him to have it. So that's the way it works.
Where he leads me, I'll go with him.
Satan tell you God won't take you back, because he will. And when you come back, you'll have the right mindset. Satan will tell you that because he don't want you to come back. But don't ever let the devil tell you God won't have you, because he will. I don't care what it is. You know what the scripture said? You say, well, I've sinned so much, I've went so far, there's no way God can get to me. But you know what the Bible says? I'm quoting this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You can't go far enough, right? I know to a person who dies, lost, whatever, I'm talking to the believer. I'm talking to the living. God will take you back. But you've got to have a mindset to say, you know what, Lord, I'll come back and I'm going to surrender. I'm going to submit. I've had people say, you know, I've prayed, I've sought God, and I just, nothing happens. He just doesn't do for me what I see that he does for other people. And you know what I say? You've tried this and you've tried that, and you think you've prayed and you think you've sought God, but there's one thing you haven't done. You haven't surrendered. If God is not a liar, and he says, in the day that you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you'll find me. And he's not a liar. So when a person says, I sought God, and they didn't find him, they did it with their heart. They did it some other way. Amen. It's like I said, I'm not a real dynamic minister in those things, but as far as truth, I will tell you. Truth. God will take you back, but you've got to come back with the right mindset to surrender to his word. And so we have to do just like the song said. I'll go with you through the garden. Garden of Gethsemane. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus won the victory. It wasn't on the cross. Because in the garden he could have run. But in the garden he prayed and said, not my will, Father, but thine. Right? We've got to come to that place in the garden where we say, God, there's a lot of things I want, but I realize that if I hold on to them, it's going to cost me. And I want to live a life that can be a redemptive quality to others. So not my will, Father, but thy will. So we've got to go with him to the garden. And then from that, he will take us to judgment. Because Jesus went to Calvary. He will take us to judgment. From that decision, he will take us to where he will point out and he will judge and he will curse those spirits. He'll deal with the Shimeites that we have and he'll clean us up. So we'll go with him through the judgment and let him put his finger on our lives and tell us where we're wrong. Amen. And then he'll give you grace and he'll give you glory. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Let's sing that again as we dismiss.
Where he is.